This is episode 5, Packard Pokes At.
Meltdown. Too hot for chat.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We had a little accidente. Well,
thanks to Packard.
Thanks. Yeah, so we're kind of going by the skin of our teeth again. Like, well, what don't we do out of skin of our teeth? What am I talking about? Anyway, welcome to the live show, which has been a resounding successful failure. we want to thank everybody who's stuck around and the new people that decided to show up. We had a little problem, but we're gonna move on past that and get on with the show. On my right is Eric Luquette, and he's on the far right. He's so far right, I'm still looking from with the searchlight.
but at least my computer works.
Yes, it does. And to my left is John. Is Dan Johnson? I almost called you John because you. It's Dan
good
John.
Day.
It's good day.
Are we going to do a Great White North again?
Yeah. No, we won't do it this time. But yeah. Anyway, Dan is, like I said, he's on the left. He's somewhere over there in outer space, but he knows where he is. Probably better than I do. I think his wife knows. His wife knows where he's at anyway. But anyway, we have a lot. We have a little bit of news here and there to start over with, or start again with. so we're having so much fun. We decided to do it twice. That's really what happened.
Hopefully, I don't fall asleep while this happens.
If we hear it snowing, we'll know for sure. But anyway, let's move on to our first part of the show. The first part is our we didn't need this last week because we actually got everything right for a change, but. This week we need it again.
Uh-oh.
We goofed. Tonight's goof is brought to you by Eric, actually.
Deja vu.
Yeah. Eric had a... he thought it was Teddy Roosevelt in the last podcast that said that... Or the last show, rather, that he had a problem with his birth certificate. Turns out it was President Chester A. Arthur... Back in 1881, his critics said he was actually born in Canada, which sounds like Kenya, you know. It's Canada, Kenya, whatever, you know. But he had been questioned on his birth certificate. He didn't show it, but, you know, our president, he decided to show it just to try to shut everybody down, but still, some people still didn't believe it. Eric, your quick thoughts on this, or
you want to? I'm just happy that, you know, I think that this just shows how little media actually explore and look at history and stuff like that. Because, I mean, really and truly, they aren't the first one. Barack Obama isn't the first. He's really right. The second. And, you know, I think a lot of people need to stop with the whole entire, oh, this is the first time ever that the president has ever had to show a birth certificate
right.
or whatever.
Well, you know, it was over 100 years ago, and I don't know anybody around that's over 100 years old, so it's not everybody's a historian and bothers to do the research like you did. So
yeah, well, you know, it's called be a journalist. It's part of your ethics.
Right, that's right. And I didn't say it was. I don't think I ever said it was the first time, but
it's just that's how everyone's acting. Oh, this is the first time this ever happened.
Right.
It's like whatever.
Right, exactly. Dan, your quick take on this.
Well, you know, it's not unusual that there were problems like that before, and I find it odd that it wasn't brought up in the media either.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the fact that, you know, Jimmy Carter was the first president we had that was actually born in a hospital, you know, it's the birth certificates of presidents before that were all done after the fact.
Right.
So, you know, how much veracity do you need?
Right, exactly. And if McCain got in office, we wouldn't need the long form. We had the stone tablets to prove it.
That's right.
Anyway. All right. Anyway, we'll get on with the rest of the show. Let's get into our first story. Microsoft bought Skype. It's been pretty well known now. Microsoft spent $8.5 billion for Skype. Turns out they didn't have to spend nearly that amount. And now everybody's calling for Steve Ballmer's head, basically, because he overpaid for it. Which, I think is kind of Microsoft coming full circle, because they always made everybody else overpay for everything of theirs, and now it's kind of come around and bit them right in the tush. So, what do you think about that, Eric?
Get ready for Skype to go downhill.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna. I really think they're gonna integrate it into Microsoft chat. I don't, but I think it's gonna suck.
Yeah, and your thoughts there, Dan?
I mean, I've told Ballmer time and again, go ahead and bid on it. Don't click on the buy it now. You pay too much.
I have done that in eBay. I have done that. It's like, you paid way too much for that. Why am I paying for that? But yeah, but no, he paid like $4.5 billion more than what he actually really needed to pay for it. So, and we know Microsoft's record for keeping up with other OSs. They said they're going to support it for Mac and the other operating systems that are currently using it. But when it comes down to it, really, really do that? I mean, the whole technology behind it are the same people who came up with Kazaa. Thank you, chat room, from earlier. That they sold the rights to Skype to eBay. eBay didn't buy everything. They bought the box. They didn't buy the contents inside the box. They sold it to another investing group. And, well, as they say, the rest is history. And then there's lawsuits everywhere for over 2 years. And then now Microsoft's got the whole kit and caboodle. I don't know. I can't. Only time's going to tell. But Microsoft, like I said, they have a history of tearing things apart and just screwing them up. So let's get into the next part of our technical news. Google's Chrome browser has finally been hacked. If you've never heard of this, it's called the Pwn to Own. It's PWN, the number 2, and then Own. It's a common thing that goes on. The white hat hackers, they go and they pound on these systems to try to find the holes, security holes, for the rest of us who, obviously, we don't have enough this major intellect like they do to sit there and go, I'm going to send an email to my sister Honoria in Denver via Chrome and make sure the hackers don't get in there, you know, whatever. So, but but anyway, since Chrome has been hacked, the browsers out, well, most of the other browsers have already been hacked. They're easily owned by viruses that are online. You go to a bad website, they can take over your browser, and you're basically boned at that point. What are your thoughts on this, Eric?
It just goes to show you, you know, really and truly the only safe way of browsing the internet is by
wearing a condom?
Wearing a condom, yes. If we weren't trying to keep this a PC show, I really would tell you my thoughts on internet browsing. But you know, really and truly the best protection in any situation is the person, you know, knowing where you're going, try not to go to those unsavory places, you know, realizing that regardless of what operating system, what browser, what firewall, antivirus, any of that good stuff,
right?
You know, you're only protected as much as where you go,
right?
And that's the reality of the situation. You can have the best browser, the best antivirus, there's always someone who's going to be able to get around it, because I think this, for 20 people who are working to try and keep people off of your computer, there are about 8,000 people working to get onto your computer.
Yeah, because your computers, they make a zombie out of your computer. They make money that way. They don't have real. They probably don't have real jobs. I mean, this is how they make their money. It's like 12 cents a machine, 10 cents a machine, whatever it is, and you multiply that by 10,000 machines, you're talking some serious bucks. Dan, what's your take?
Well, you know, I wanted to point out, Eric is exactly right that, you know, there are always people wanting to get into your computer, whether it's through a website on your browser or, you know, I run Linux machines at home, and I check my system logs, and I constantly have people, usually from China, trying to get in and log into my computer.
If they want porn, they got to go to get their own. They're not getting mine.
They're not getting mine either.
They're not getting my porn because,
you know.
No, I'm totally kidding.
They never have gotten into my system, but, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you have. They want to find out what you have.
I'm pretty boring. Why would they want to? I really don't understand why they want to look in my computer to see what. I mean, to see that I've been going to Kittens R Us. I mean, what? No. They could do that from there. So, but anyway. These people, I don't understand why they want to get into my computer, but that's a whole other section. But anyway, I think we've covered everything we could do with that, so we're going to move on.
What a...
This is our random tweet for the day. It comes from Bad Riddim. That's BadmanRiddim on Twitter. He says, "I wish for an employee like I used to be!" Exclamation point. And I can kind of sympathize with this because I was a manager for the company I worked for at one point, and I couldn't get these people to want to work. They just wanted to kind of like, yeah, whatever, and then just didn't want to come in and do any kind of job. I mean, it was a part-time job, and not that there wasn't the work. It just they just didn't want to do it. I don't know. I come in, they ask me to do something, I do it. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, it's money. If these people are so against making money, then why are they working at all? I mean, this is just people like this just kind of floor me, but. What's your take on this, Eric?
I got to remember what I said the first time.
Make something up. That's what I'm doing. No.
I really think what's going on. I mean, we're starting to become a very lazy and lethargic society in my view and in my personal experience. I think that we have a lot of people who are just trying to you know, get by.
Yeah,
and what's going on is that we have yeah. I'm just leaving it at that. I can't even remember what I said the first time. I'm done.
Okay, Dan.
I wish I could go into my wonderful little monologue I had last podcast. Yeah. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen right now.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
Yeah, it was, and you know, it involved.
It all makes sense. It all kind of came around, and now I just can't get that train of thought back. Moving.
Crash! You just crash. See, it my computer crashed, but you're
with the proper work ethic.
That's right. It was fantastic. Look, unfortunately, you see, this is what you get for not listening to the live show. Because if you listen to the live show, you would have heard, and it would have brought tears to your eyes. It was like
it was so beautiful, man. It's just so beautiful. No, but anyway, anybody who's in the chat room, we actually started at 9. PM Central Time. So if you're joining us at 10 o'clock, you just happen to be in luck. We had a little accidente. But anyway, so Dan, what's your thought on this?
You know, I think there are, you know, a lot of problems behind it, but I've worked with a lot of people over the last 30 years that I wouldn't want to work with again, although there are a lot of them that I would. And it's sad because a lot of them want to collect a paycheck, but they don't actually want to do the work.
Yeah.
And there have always been a lot of them, but I think, like Eric mentioned, it's something that we learn early to take responsibility for ourselves and what we do, and a lot of people don't learn that anymore.
I remember a number of years ago when I was a teenager, there was a job that no one could keep, they couldn't keep anybody hired on this job for very long because it was just... I don't know if the job was too boring or something, but you didn't have to do much.
Back in the 50s?
No. Yeah, back in the 50s. No, it was back in the late 80s. I had read this, that these people, all they had to do is sit in a boat and watch for construction workers to make sure they didn't fall in the water or whatever. And people, they couldn't stand sitting there, just sitting there not doing anything, because if they took their eyes off, I guess they'd get fired, I guess, but... They had to just sit there in the boat all day. That's all they had to do. I don't know if they could bring any fishing poles. I'm sure they couldn't, but that's all they had to do. It was the most boring job, but they wouldn't do it. I mean, they didn't have to do anything. Just sit there. You just earn a paycheck. Just sit there. Most people would say, that's the dream job, but Why wouldn't they? But they had a very high turnover rate on that, just because people would say, "I just can't handle this anymore." It's like,
well, you know, I think what's going to happen is that eventually, what we're not doing is that, you know, our fathers and our parents and things of that are trying very hard to create a better life for their children.
Right.
But what they're not doing anymore is they're not passing along how to be responsible young, how to be responsible men and women, and how to have a good, strong work ethic.
Right.
And I think that in a few years from now, we're going to really see a change in our the people and the workforce, and it's not going to be for the better. I think we're gonna be in a bind in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, especially, you know, you've got these helicopter parents that are telling their kids that, oh, you know, you didn't do the best, but we aren't really keeping score. That's good enough. You're okay. You know, if your kid isn't doing worse, tell them they aren't doing worse.
Oh, I didn't do it this time.
I know. I know.
But, you know, if your kid isn't doing worth crap, tell them they aren't doing worth crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, move on. And healthy criticism is okay.
Yeah.
There are all these parents out there that any criticism is bad. You know, we can't have that. You know, we have to tell our kids that everything they do is great.
Right.
It's like, well, you know.
No, I just
lied to him. Fine.
Right.
Go ahead. Have you seen the documentary Waiting for Superman? I think it was in that documentary.
Actually, I've never seen that.
They talked about how all the kids are, you know, all the children in the United States are in low in everything else except for self-esteem.
Yeah. You know, I do that with my kids. I mean, my daughter, she is very good at drawing because she comes to me.
You tell your daughter she's horrible?
No. Well, not like that. I would come, and she'd bring her photo or her drawing to me. I said, "Okay, this part looks good. This part needs work. This could use a little tweaking here." I mean, and then that made her go and think and work at it, and make it better. When she would go, she told me this. She would go to her mother's, and she'd say, "Show this to her mother." And she said, "How is this?" And she'd go, "Oh, that's great. That looks great. Great, 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 great." You don't get any feedback. This is not feedback. This is just pandering at that point. It's just stroking the ego. You're nice, kitty. Nice, kitty. What do you learn from that? Nothing.
I wonder if by us being so positive, or not necessarily so positive, but so anti-critical of children, if that's what's leading towards these cases of bullying where these children don't know how to deal with bullies. You know, they don't know how, because bully is just a form of criticism to some degree. It's an extreme form of criticism. I understand that, and I'm not trying to take away.
I'd say it's a very extreme form of criticism.
But what we're finding is more and more kids and having harder and harder times dealing with it. You know,
yeah,
they're having harder times being able to shrug some of this stuff off, and I'm wondering if it's because, you know, we're always in there going, "Oh, you're such a darling. Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, you do no wrong. Oh, you're such a sweet angel. Oh, you know, it's like no one ever tells them anything other than they're wonderful, and then finally someone starts telling them they are not wonderful, and they don't know how to handle it.
Right?
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. They get this image built up in their mind, and they think they can do no wrong, and then someone comes and say you're wrong, and then they go, they just collapse because they don't, because their self-esteem is built on a deck of cards. All right, I think we've bullied that one to death. let's indeed let's get on with our next subject.
Politics.
Last time we did this, we went flying through it, which was kind of nice. The U.S. federal government mandated a special chip. Mandates for upcoming cell phones that users cannot opt out of presidential messages. Now, Someone had mentioned in the chat room saying I should get out my tinfoil hat because I'm not getting that out because that just makes things worse. But it's Eric that wants a tinfoil hat.
I've been having my tinfoil hat on for about a week now.
Yes, he has. But I think I have mixed feelings on this. I mean, it could be used for a good thing if there's an emergency or whatever because more people are not at home anymore. They're out in the job market. They're out driving, whatever. And they have a cell, and most everybody has a cell phone. If they, you know, unless you're indigent or whatever, you don't have access to the resources to get a cell phone. But since they have a cell phone, they can get a message any place, any time. And at some point when they get TVs on the cell phones, which I'm waiting for, and it's in preliminaries now, they can get all these messages on there. Now the flip side of this is that. Yeah, the president has access to your phone. I mean, is he going to start, you know, Eric had mentioned before, but we'll get to that. I'll let him mention it maybe if he remembers. we said Apple had these issues with tracking. Will someone unscrupulous get in there and use this technology or find some way to use this technology to track us? From the phones, your thoughts there, Eric?
Like I said before, I understand why they're doing it, and to that degree, it's a good thing. Where, you know, we're not by our TVs anymore. In fact, I don't watch TV. I don't watch network TV. It's very rare I watch anything on network TV. If it's not on iTunes, Hulu, or on the internet, the chances of me watching it are very slim.
Yes.
So this is a very good way to inform people like me who are more on the go and keep me informed. But the thing that worries me is that this is just what happens. It's kind of the way I equated it earlier is like it's like Google.
Right.
Google says do no evil.
Right.
And for the most part, Google kind of tries to do no evil. But they're not sweet angels either.
No.
You know?
No, it's a business, just like any others.
And that's why and government is very, you know, we may have people sitting there right now saying, oh, this is a good idea, you know, we're going to keep people informed, but what's going to happen when someone unscrupulous? Because, you know, here, can you imagine this? Just throwing this idea out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we're about ready to hit $14 trillion in debt?
Yes.
What if the United States starts selling advertisements through this thing? And suddenly, you know, you're on the road and you get this advertisement from the president saying, hey, I like Denny's. You know? I'm just saying, you know, I mean, you want to pay off the debt.
The president shops at Payless.
That's right.
You should too.
So
I don't know if I want to press the president if he's shopping at Payless.
but you know, I mean, and that's more of an extreme thing. And I mean, that's my tinfoil hat I'm putting on right now.
Okay,
my tinfoil hat. it all starts somewhere. And you know, I think this is just people got so angry at George Bush whenever he started the Patriot Act because,
yes,
you know, of wiretapping. Even though it was wiretapping of a suspected terrorist,
right?
Bill Clinton read email, you know, but everybody got angry at Bush for what he was doing.
Right.
Well, I kind of view this as, you know, why isn't anyone sitting there going, okay, why is the federal government wanting to put chips in our phone? And are they only going to be able to send us messages, or will they be able to do more?
Read our minds.
That's the thought I'm going to leave y'all with.
Read our minds, read our thoughts.
That's right.
Read our text messages. Okay, your thoughts on this, Dan?
Well, you know, I think it's intended to be a one-way type of thing that, you know, you're just going to be on the receiving end of messages.
You mean we can't talk back to them? Say, hey, you're doing a great job. Hey, you suck.
To send out. And it's, you know, I see it as kind of a new version of the emergency broadcast.
Thanks, Fred, for the thumbs up on Target.
Yeah, at least we know we'd be saving money. But
yeah.
It'd be, you know, it's kind of like an executive branch division giving you emergency broadcasts based on, you know, if there's a nuclear strike somewhere or whatever. None of us listen to I don't want to say none of us, because I personally do. I listen to a lot of broadcast radio, but most people don't anymore.
Well, if there's a nuclear strike, I think that big glowing thing in the sky that's not the sun, I think that would be a big tip-off.
Well, I'm hoping not to be anywhere near New York or L.A. when that happens.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, where do we hear emergency broadcasts about tornado warnings and that kind of thing?
Radio. Radio now, but, I mean, radio
yeah,
or TV.
But, you know, oh, a lot of people don't listen to broadcast radio anymore.
True. They're using, like I said, you said previously, their MP3 players.
Or even satellite radio.
Yep, exactly. And I used to have cable, when I had cable, I would just watch the cable and I would miss everything that was coming on the broadcast station. So I didn't know what was going on in my own neighborhood. And because they just play, you know, mindless TV after mindless show. Even if it's entertaining, you're still, there's no interaction there. So, and somebody had mentioned in the chat room, Zach's mind, he said hackers will figure out how to block it. I completely agree with that. Especially, you know, like you got an iPhone, and if you jailbroke it, look how they found out how this stuff, the tracing stuff, was from a jailbroken iPhone. Someone's going to find out in future iPhones if this shows up at some point. They're going to.
But can you imagine? And I'm speaking about this. Can you imagine, like, there's a hurricane coming for the Gulf, and some hacker dude like pulled the chip out of the phone, and then.
Well, I don't think it's a chip. I think it's just a matter of. Well, there might be a chip in there, but there would be a way to electronically block it. I mean, you could do this with iPhones now if they have a recall program. So they can basically take a program off your phone remotely. And there are on the iPhones, and anybody who has an iPhone and jailbroken, you know, this kill switch can be shut off.
But can you imagine, like, a natural event, the guy turned off the chip and then, you know, wants to sue the government for not preventing him from turning off the chip?
I can see where that would go. I can see where that would go. You didn't prevent me from doing what I wanted to do.
It depends. It depends on if it happens in California, because I'm pretty sure California would be like, yeah, the government really should have prevented you from being a moron. They'll most probably side with a person. Now, if you go someplace else, they'll most probably be like, yeah, you're a moron. Maybe you shouldn't be existing right now.
You lost that leg because you didn't pay attention.
That's right.
And the alligator came up and bit you in the butt. Anyway. Alrighty. Let's, I almost missed our, I j- almost jumped our next story there. Okay. I think we've basically cell phoned this one to death. Let's move on.
Give me the news.
In the city of Prague, the Prague Zoo is selling elephant dung as souvenirs. Now, I read this before. I was just like, are you got to be kidding me? This is it's a fad, and the Czech gardeners are out there. They're buying manure pails as fertilizer. There's a lot of things I'll buy in my lifetime, and I'm not proud of, but I've never bought poo. I don't want to even get one that's shiny, like they did in the TV show Mythbusters, because they said you can't shine one, but they did it, and they did a good job of it. Put a little shellac on there, it looked really nice, but I don't think I want one in my house. this one was, it sells for $3.90 each, or 70 corona, or corona? K-O-R-U-N-A, corona. It's 2.2 pounds, that's a lot of poo. Of course, this is from an elephant. What am I thinking? You know, is it? It's not going to be a little droplet like it would see out of a bird, I suppose. Your thoughts on that, Eric?
Hey, if you want to buy poo, I say go for it. Everybody has their own little fetish, so knock yourself out. What you do behind closed doors is your business.
You buy it for the man who has everything, right?
That's right. Can you imagine getting that gift? Oh, I know you have everything, but do you have elephant dung?
The gift that keeps on smelling.
That's right.
Okay, your thoughts on this, Dan, before I completely lose my mind.
It, it probably makes pretty good fertilizer. but like I mentioned earlier, I remember the guy on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Zach's Mind came up with a link to the clip. The guy had quail droppings that he would, you know, I think he had them encased in a resinous plastic that, and, you know, sold them as jewelry and paperweights and such. And, you know, hey, the guy made a few bucks off of it.
I can't.
The elephant dung, I think, is pretty much just fertilizer. You
yeah,
know?
I can't see. I can't see where an elephant dung is. Is well, I suppose you get enough of it. It's a nice heavy coat. But I don't think I would want to have jewelry that was out of that come out of an animal's behind. I mean, it just it seems counterintuitive to me. What's that?
What about coffee?
Coffee? Yeah, I know there is a special blend of coffee. It's called cat butt. I kid you not. It is called cat butt. There's a special, I forget where
it's
it is.
It's a civet cat, yeah.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. They have these special cats that come and let them eat the beans, and then they collect the droppings. They say it actually makes the beans taste better. And it's and it sells for $50.
Must be pretty nasty coffee to start with.
Well, beforehand. But they said there's some kind of something going on with the digestion of these animals that's causing this. I wish they could figure out the chemicality of it so we don't have to have it call it cat butt. Well, they'll probably keep the name anyway. But they sell it for like $50 for a very small bag from what I understand. But I fed a lot of things to cats over the years. I never once thought I'd give them something like coffee. I mean, those cats are wired enough as it is. I mean, you give them coffee? You'll see that cat building an airplane and flying it around your room. your thoughts on that, Eric? Or did we already get? Did I already ask you that?
You already, I told you.
Oh, okay. You're right. I'm sorry.
You,
I'm,
gift that gives, whatever you do behind closed doors, your business.
Right. Exactly. And I already asked you too, Dan, didn't I?
Yep. Okay. I think we covered that.
I think we pooed all over that one. Okay. And this one, Eric dropped in our notes for tonight. The NU Northern University students will no longer be able to learn about human sexuality from a certain professor because apparently they did a demonstration that involved a motorized sex toy penetrating a female guest. Apparently, I learned this in our first run through, that this was not just an ordinary toy that you could go buy at one of your local adult shops. Well, part of it was probably, but they said it was using power tools on this. I mean, it just gives me a whole lot of sense of this is probably not a woman I'd want to date anyway, because you'd never...
They have a picture of her online.
Oh, now you're going to have to give me the link.
Yeah, I think it's in the show, in the story. Hold on.
Okay. I didn't see it here, but I've got the link on the story here. So
okay, because I think they have the actual picture of the girl.
Wow.
In there, but did
dressed? I hope.
Did your daughter wake up whenever she heard this story?
She woke up when we started talking about that last time. So, but anyway, I mean, human sexuality. All kidding aside, human sexuality is an important function of learning. I mean, we should learn it. Anybody that places where they curtail that, you get a higher instances of STDs, pregnancies, abortions, and things like that. We should be teaching classes on this. This is just, I think, is going to be another excuse for people to say, hey, you're teaching human sexuality. And then they'll draw back on this, and they'll say that the whole thing's obscene or whatever, you know, because they're using their religion, or basically they're just afraid of their bodies, or they're afraid of other people's bodies, for that matter, and say, you can't look at that because we don't want you to look at that because that resembles us in some way, and we don't want you to think of us when we're probably not anyway, and when you're looking at them, so or however they, who knows what goes through these people's minds. Your thoughts, Eric?
I think there's a difference between and listening to you this go around. I think there's a difference between safe sex versus novelty sex kind of thing. And
novelty sex is that do they share rides and give cotton candy?
Well, you know, and we kind of were touching upon this the first go around where it's like, is this the place to have a woman being penetrated by a drill? You know, I mean, and that's the question. It's no longer like, okay, you know, whenever you here are some things you need to look at. Here's how you correctly use a, you know, this sexual instrument. I'm trying very hard to not say anything dirty, but you know, the question becomes, is this a place? Because, you know, really and truly, you know, what they're performing is more of a fetish thing, and I understand sexuality and it's showing it, but is this where you do live demonstrations and stuff like that?
Well,
and
you know,
if you do live demonstrations, how do I get into that class?
I think there's a 3-day wait period on that.
Okay.
No, but dang. I said the last time around that you should know what your partner likes. I mean, if it is a fetish, and fetishes are out there. Some people like feet, some like toes, some like fingers, some like ears, whatever you're into. But you should know how to, I would say, use the equipment, you know. Whether it's a toy or your own body, you should know how to use your equipment. But, I mean, if they use
but
it...
Is this the right place for this, though?
Yes, if it's a university, yes, it is, because this is not some place that's accessible to generally 12-year-olds. I mean, you don't have little kids running in and watching these people go at it, or having, you know, see this woman or man naked in the classroom. Look at all the art places that are out there. People go out and they stand. They get paid to do this. They stand there naked, and people draw them. I mean, the only difference here between that and this is someone, there was actually physical penetration going on into this woman. I mean, if she was being attacked by being punctured with needles, I mean, that's still penetration. It's more of a more dangerous than, say, this toy was. Your thoughts on this, Dan?
Well, you know, this is a class in human sexuality at a college level, which is not sex education. This is more along the lines of a sociology class, and researching about the extremes of human sexuality, the norms of human sexuality. So it's going to cover all the bases.
Right.
If there's a live demonstration, you know, there are university guidelines to cover that type of thing generally, and I would say in this case they probably went outside of those guidelines and you know, deserve to have that section pulled.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the you know, at the beginning of every year they kind of give you a list of what's going to be covered and all that good stuff? Can you imagine that being listed and everybody like circling that date, like, don't sleep in?
these are the things you're going to need for class.
I almost want to be in the class just to see how people were. Oh, we're going to have a live demonstration on this day. I hope y'all join. And everybody like,
I will not miss it.
Can we bring friends?
Why does it say I need to buy motion lotion for the lab?
a pack of cigarettes, you know?
For later.
Later.
Okay, I think we just lost our G rating. Okay, there. All right, let's move on. Oh, yeah. In this part of the show, we are covering religion. We have, if you've been following the show, the last couple of episodes we covered first and second law, or commandments, not laws. Excuse me. I'm tired. I have been up since very late, or early, whatever. But we're up to number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, I have my own personal take on this. I think this is, this whole line is just crazy, but I'll come back to me here in a minute on this. Eric, your thoughts on this. Is this still relevant today? Do we really need this around? I mean, the modern world?
You know, the first go round we did this, and I said what I said.
Yeah.
Then I heard what Dan said.
And you were so, it was so brilliant. But go ahead and say what you're going to say anyway.
Man, I don't even know if I could. I mean, I'm just like, man, that actually makes sense. Okay, so anyway, my thing about it was it's more of, you know, in looking at the time, you know, when we use God's name in vain, it brings in more of a negative connotation. And, you know, I don't think we want to associate what we're trying to believe as being a loving, caring, giving God in a negative light. It's and I kind of equate it to using the N-word. When we use the N-word to talk about African Americans, it has a very negative connotation, and we're bringing down a culture by using that word. And it would be similar. It would be similar in a sense by doing the same with God. Every time we say, you know, gosh darn it, but you know,
yeah,
it's like a different way. You know, it brings that negative connotation, and that's what we're trying to stray away from. As far as using it in modern day, you know, I think it's more of just trying to be positive speech. I mean, I think out of all the commandments, personally to me, this is one of the less ones. We all curse, we all say bad things. You know, it's not one of those condemning acts where it's like, oh, you said a naughty word.
Do people think that if they say this, do you think they... that God is going to strike them down, smote them, and right where they stand?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, things slip out. You know, I know one of the things is that, you know, I take karate, and, you know, whenever you're inside of the dojo, you know, it's a very, you know, there's a lot of respect and stuff like that. And,
right.
You know, one time, you know, we were grappling, and you know, I accidentally said a naughty word. And, I mean, it wasn't intentional. It was an accident, you know, and it wasn't something that, you know, in my head I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to say it happened.
Right.
You know? And I was apologetic, you know, all that good stuff. And I think that's, you know, we slip up. We mess up. And whenever, you know, not so much the Old Testament God as much as the New Testament God. The New Testament God is the more forgiving God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, he's more understanding, and as far as it being used in modern day, we
so God
up.
Changed. We got two.
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
We got
you know,
two. God's twin brother.
The old God. The Old Testament was like, hey, guess what, guys? Y'all not gonna make it. Versus the versus New Testament God, which was a little more like, all right.
He's been smoking the ganja. He's sitting back. He's relaxed now. He says, oh yeah, I won't smoke it today. Maybe tomorrow. Okay. No. Your thoughts on this, Dan?
Well, I'm going to go completely out the other side on this one. And
now this is genius, brilliant. Go for it.
Go for it.
I'm going to start off with saying that, you know, I think this is one that most people really haven't read anything other than the King James Version and say thou shouldn't take the name of thy Lord God in vain, and everybody thinks it's about swearing. And you know, I like to look at different translations of the Bible, and this comes from Young's literal translation, Exodus 20, chapter 7. So it says, thou dost not take up the name of Jehovah thy God for a vain thing, for Jehovah acquitteth not him who taketh up his name for a vain thing.
Right.
Which, when I read that, it says to me that you shouldn't use the name of your God for something that gives yourself glory.
Right.
God, you know, you praise God to give the glory to him, not to bring glory upon yourself.
Right. So I'm doing this because of the spaghetti monster tells me to, or something like that, or
well, you know, doing this and say I'm doing this for the spaghetti monster. Isn't it great how I do these wonderful things?
Oh, I got you now. I see how you're just like, yeah, you're saying the spaghetti monster basically gave me the power to tell you what to do. Something like that.
Yeah, that type of thing. And like, you know, Benny Hinn and these televangelists that are, you know, God told me to do this and praise me. You know,
so basically trying not to
like
say
to me.
Okay, so he's basically trying to say, okay, so you got God told me to do this, but you got to praise me instead of God, basically.
Yeah, that's what taking up the God's name for a vain thing would be to me.
Ah,
doing something in God's name and taking the glory for yourself.
I see. Okay. So you're basically, as I said the first time around, so basically speaking as for God, as for speaking for God in this instance. Now, do you think it's still relevant today?
Again, this is one of those things that I don't think is relevant to anyone outside of the Christian religion specifically, although I think it speaks to another a moral issue of, I don't want to say it, kind of stealing someone's thunder or portraying someone's hard work as your own glory.
So, like stealing tweets.
Yeah.
I think that crime's a little less punishable. But anyway, so, all right, Eric.
Yes.
You said, what do you think? Do you think this is still relevant today? I don't remember if you said it before, but I'm going to ask it now, just in case.
I'm trying to be careful because, last time, even whenever I'm saying nice things about the church, I always get tweets from people who are saying I'm saying evil things about the church. So.
we're not going to mention him this time. I think that's why the computer melted down, because we mentioned him. We're not going to mention him. So
that's right. I really think the... if you look at it from a religious standpoint, it is a law from God. So yes, it's going to have relevance regardless. It's almost timeless, but I don't think it's. I guess it depends on what you define by relevance.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't think it's a major sin to do. It's something that we should try not to do, and it not in so much like, don't use God's name in vain, as much as just try and, not say negative things in general. Try and be positive for the most part. And, and if you have to criticize, criticize tactfully,
Yeah.
Don't sit there and say, "Well, you're stupid," as much as say, "Look, you need to work a little bit harder and get better grades,"
Yeah.
I mean, there are tactful ways of doing everything. And I think that's really the point that we should look at and address with this commandment.
Okay. So our consensus is that it's only relevant to the Christian community, and for everybody else who doesn't believe in God, Yahweh, Xenu, Spaghetti Monster, whatever, it's not all that relevant then. Does that seem to be our consensus on this?
I agree the first part. Second part is kind of like, I wouldn't say not relevant as much as just, be mindful. Okay. I think it's just be mindful.
Okay. Dan, what do you think?
It's like so much of, religious texts, there are good lessons to be learned to apply in your own life, whether you follow the religion or not.
Okay.
And, this is one of those things in some areas, but,
Yeah.
You get what you can out of it.
Yeah. I can see that point completely. Okay. All right. Well, I think we're done with that part. We're only going to cover these one at a time, because I think we're getting some really good discussion that way. All right. We're time to move on to our next one. I love that part. I try not to use the same people over again, but if they say something good, this is our funny tweet segment of the show. This next one comes from Bionic Dance, and this one really screamed out at me. It says that YouTube has ruined me for watching TV. I'll start over again. Bionic Dance said, "YouTube has ruined me for watching movies and TV. I keep finding myself wanting to pause and rate and comment." So, I kind of sympathize with that, because I'm like, I almost want to do the same thing. I'm sitting there going, "Okay, why is this part relevant? That doesn't even make sense." I mean, but you realize, we're not that far in our technology yet where we could quite do that. I mean, we got stuff you can listen, kind of follow the show on, like on your iPad, it listens to the show, whatever, but, and it gives you some background, but you can't tell anybody or rate them right along right away. What did you...
And thank goodness for that, because if that was the case, I would hate to see how we would rate.
Oh, I don't even want to think about that. I don't even want to think about that. What do you think about that there, Dan?
20 years from now, you'll look back on this and hang your head in shame.
Shame.
But,
shame.
I mean, it's it's great that, you know, YouTube and other services have given people a way to promote, whether it's their own material or just, hey, look at this. And I think it's opened up a lot of things for many people. Yeah. And I think it's good to get away from the normal pablum of broadcast TV and what's on cable tonight.
You mean like more traditional TV?
I don't care about American Idol, you know?
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, you mean more, get away from the more traditional TV, the kind of sit, the sit, it's called the sit back effect.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought there too. It was just, it was kind of funny. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of them. There was some funny ones that were downright hilarious, but they were just not broadcast material. So I kind of had to like say, no. Okay, on to our tweet, shout out for our tweeter of the night.
Hey, you guys!
This one I'm picking out this week. Actually, you know what? I think next week's Dan, I'm calling you John again. Dan, next week we're going to do round robin. Next week you can pick one, a follow out for a random shout out for a follower. We do this every week. If you haven't been watching, haven't been listening to the show, someone, one of our random followers, will get a shout out for whatever reason. Doesn't matter. Mine this week is from Kersey Geek, K E R S E Y G E E K. Give her a follow on Twitter. She's very responsive. If you post something, and she will give her honest opinion. Her and I are on some effects on the same line of thought. On others, we have completely diverged thought processes on it, and that's perfectly fine. The discourse between us is very nice. I mean, you know, if you don't agree, that's fine. And it's not taking the level like when you go and have an argument with somebody else on Twitter and they just go completely nutsoid or schizoid on you and start shouting off all kinds of weird, crazy things like that one guy, we won't even get to mention his name. But she will give her your opinion and it can go back and forth and it stays somewhat civil. All right. So anyway, and we do not have an interview this week, but if you do want to be interviewed for the show, drop us a line at packardpokesat@gmail.com.
Can I be interviewed for the show?
I think you already are, Eric.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But if you know somebody that wants to be interviewed for the show, or if you don't want to be interviewed for the show, but you know someone wants to be interviewed for the show, send them our way, and we will... And we'll talk with them and see what we can do for you. I think this is the first time we've actually had the show that lasted under an hour.
Well, it depends on how many times.
This time.
This time. No, we were
pretty
good.
Total.
Yeah, total. But last time we were almost under an hour before, too. So.
Well, that's because I didn't have any good politics stories. I really
You usually come up with really good politics stories.
I bet you this week I have a sneaky suspicion I'm going to be throwing in a couple stories.
You betcha. All right. Well, anyway, any last words for tonight, the gentleman? And I do that use that term loosely.
I'm good.
No, I think we did good, especially with our practice run. Things went smoothly the second time around.
Yeah, you always got to practice every once in a while. Okay, you can find us at the website at packardpokesat.wordpress.com. We are also on...
Real quick, Packard, when are you going to actually get packardpokesat.com?
Or .net or
.net or
I don't know, maybe start making some money on this, maybe, I don't know, I open up the wallet and let the moths fly out, and then I will. but for right now, we're just gonna go for the website. But you can find us on FormSpring at PackardPokesat. If you have a question for us related to the show, something. Feel free to get on there, leave an anonymous question, or sign up and leave us a question. We will get back to you. We'll maybe read it on the show. You can find the Twitter stream for the show at PackardPokesAt, all one word, on Twitter. And you can find Eric on Twitter as?
ELUQUE1696.
Right. And you can find Dan on Twitter as?
Rel Unrelated. That's RELUNRELATED.
All right. Excellent. And I think that is going to be it for tonight. I want to thank all of our special guests that came to watch us and listen to us make fools of ourselves tonight. But we had fun doing it, even if we had to do it twice. Anyway, once again, thank you for coming to the show. And we will be back next week, hopefully without a computer that's going to melt down on us. and we will only have to do this once. That's 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's -6, people, if you're looking for the UTC, where to find us. It will be at here at Ustream.tv/channel/Packard-Pokes-At-Live. And you can find all the previous episodes on iTunes. And if you can't get iTunes, at PackardPokesAt, there's a link that says how to get the show. It's on the upper right-hand side. It shows you how to alternate ways to get the show. If you get other media players, and how, links on how to get the show that way. All right, I think that's it for us then. And I would like to wish everybody a good evening, good morning, good night, whenever you're listening to this.
And that's a wrap.